This morning's public reading of God's Word comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We're going to be reading the first 13 verses here this morning as we open up chapter 11 in our hearing. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he hath need. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, once again, you have 4 Gospels. And let's liken the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as 4 individuals standing on the edge of a corner on a busy intersection. Okay, a busy intersection. And bingo, an accident occurs. The police come, and they're going to interview Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and get an accident report from each one of those eyewitnesses. Their reports will not be the same. If they were the same, then the policeman can charge them with collusion. But all 4 witnesses will have a different account of the accident because they witnessed it from a different angle. And that's what you see here. If you notice, verses 2, 3, and 4 is the model prayer, but notice it's not quoted quoted in whole. It stops at verse 4. And yet you know elsewhere, when you look at what's called the model prayer, there's more that Luke doesn't share. Why? I don't know. But that's what God the Holy Spirit had in mind, because Luke stops at verse 4, and then Luke records this parable that Jesus interjects. Now, what caused this parable to be interjected? Verse 1. Came to pass that as Jesus was known and witnessed to be a man of prayer, okay, when he was done, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us, instruct us, show us how to pray. Notice, as John, i.e. John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. So notice, Jesus and John both were similar men of devoted prayer. Secondly, not only were they men of devoted prayer, their respective disciples witnessed these 2 devoted men in action while they were in prayer. Yes, there were times when Jesus did go off in seclusion, and I'm pretty sure John the Baptist did so, where he went off in that so-called closet and prayed intimately by himself. We know that. But there were other times, apparently, where John the Baptist and Jesus prayed in such a way that their respective disciples witness this devotion to God the Father and this continual, habitual discipline of praying to the Almighty. And so they said, teach us. And so verses 2, 3, and 4, Luke only quotes in part what we know to be the model prayer. Now, the Our Father is not a talisman. It's not a bunny foot. It's not for good luck. You don't pray that over and over in vain repetition, expecting God to give you an answer. It's a model. It's a guideline of how to pray, how to approach God in prayer. Okay, and the first thing you notice in verses 2, that before you begin to let loose with your wish list, as if God is a Santa Claus in heaven, notice in verse 2, when it comes to this model prayer, we should always approach God with a little bit of reverence, well, I think with a whole lot of reverence and a whole lot of recognition of who He is. Part of your prayer should be a part of prayer, a prayer to worship God for who He is. You kind of catch that in verse 2. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice, this is prayer. This is worship. This is into the inner sanctuary of the very palace of the King of Glory. Thy kingdom come, thy will, your decree be done, just like in, as it's done in heaven amongst the angels. None of the angels tell God, I'm too tired to go do this and do that. I can't go to earth right now. I'm on vacation, or I got to watch the ball game. When God tells an angel, a holy elect angel, to do something, it's lickety-split, aye, aye, sir, and off they go. What we should be praying is just as your will is accomplished in heaven with unquestionable obedience, may the will of the Father be executed in the hearts of His people that way. And then give us day by day our daily bread, our daily sustenance. And then verse 4, the issue of forgiveness. As we forgive others, God will also forgive us as well. And then He gives this illustration in verses 5 all the way down to verse 10. He gives the story of a man tucked under the sheets. He's in bed with his kids. And a friend comes at a very unusual hour, probably 1 or 2 in the morning, starts banging on the front door. And the man in bed says, what do you want? Don't you realize what time it is? Don't you realize I'm with my children and it's time for sleep? I need bread. I just got a visitor out of the blue. I got no food. I need something to feed him. Give me bread. And initially, the man upstairs refuses. And here's the key. Go to verse 8. Though he will not rise and give him, though he's going to stay put under the sheets with his children, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that word means because of his constant knocking, he is going, in a sense, to aggravate the good man upstairs to be moved. And in order to quiet the knocking, and to quiet this man's need for bread, he's going to get the bread, open the front door, give it to his buddy, and say, here, now let me go back to bed. Now that's a crude illustration for what follows next. Notice verse 9. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, that's how it gets translated in English. But here's how it reads in the Greek, especially with the idea of importunity. I say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and continually seek, and ye shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, like in the parable, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, notice ETH, continual tense, implying continual asking, receiveth continually. He that seeketh continually, findeth continually. And to him that knocketh continually, it shall be opened to him or her. And then he finally ends by showing the comparison between evil men and your heavenly Father. Notice what he says in verse 13. If ye then, being evil by nature, evil by birth. Isn't that amazing how Jesus reminds them of their own depravity, their own innate depravity. You who are evil by nature, you know how to give good gifts to your children. Well, conversely, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who's not evil, but is the epitome of goodness and righteousness, love, mercy, and compassion, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice the comparison. You who are evil to the core, even you know how to give good gifts to your kids. And he says, he illustrates, if your son asks for a bread, you're going to give him a rock to chew on. If your child asks you for a fish, you're going to give him a snake. Okay, you're going to give him creamed viper with rice? No. Or if he asks an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion full of a deadly poison tip? Notice how Jesus weaves this parable and makes this very dramatic a contrast between evil men who know how to give good gifts. If bad men know how to be good in that sense, what about your heavenly Father, who is righteous, merciful, gracious, compassionate, loving, forbearing, patient with his own? How much more shall he give you? And so when it comes to prayer, beloved, there is to be some importunity. There is to be that constant knocking, that constant asking, and that constant seeking. And we are being told that if you ask, you're going to receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it shall be granted. So, beloved, may that help you to enhance your own prayer life. Well, may the word of God forever be praised. Amen.